Welcome to the All Access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, and this is Jason Powell here with an audio review of the WWE Raw show that took place in Knoxville, Tennessee on Monday, January 18th. Just want to give you a quick plug for the .net members section over at ProWrestling.net. If you have never signed up for .net members access, it's a great time to do so. There's a three-hour interview with former WWE creative team member Court Bauer. And there's also the .net weekly audio show in which Rich Quilling and I run through the latest news of the week. We usually do that on either Thursday or Friday and generally include a lot of tidbits that haven't been posted anywhere else. And I usually answer .net member questions for at least 2 hours per week. Just depends on the week, but no less than an hour, it seems like. And we sneak in some non-wrestling questions, have a little bit of fun, and keep that one light. And it's also on the ad-free version of the site. There is a .NET members forum where you can correspond with other .NET members. You have the ability to write your own blog. So all sorts of perks. And it's a great time to sign up because it'll carry you through the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. In fact, actually, it'll carry you through the next TNA pay-per-view as well if you sign up today. So, and the best part is only $5 a month. So act now. Get over to ProWrestling.net if you're listening on iTunes. And sign up. Look for the sign-up page, and again, you'll get all that for just $5 a month and get the first look at .NET News. So having said all that, let's get into this Raw show. I went into this not expecting much, just because, I shouldn't say not expecting much from the show, but not expecting much from the guest hosts, John Heater and Don Johnson, just, you know, whatever, and Napoleon Dynamite, and Don Johnson hasn't been relevant in my mind in decades, but they actually did a good job. Don Johnson was, you know, pretty cut and dry, but John Heater really handed up and had a good time with this. I assume he's a wrestling fan. He was the Flame. He had his own robe, and he actually got in the ring and was cheesing it up pretty good, wearing the boots and the trunks, and looking well as only John Heater could in that outfit. So, long live the Flame! I actually got a kick out of it. Didn't really make me want to tune in to see next week or anything, but, you know, for my guest host standards, it was just good dumb fun, and so I got a kick out of that. But more importantly, WWE did a really nice job of hyping the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. They've been struggling, in my mind, over the last few weeks to really make that pay-per-view seem special. They hadn't advertised a whole lot for that show and really hadn't focused on the actual Royal Rumble match and the importance of that the winner would advance to the main event of WrestleMania and challenge for one of the titles. But they got on track last night, so I was very happy to see that. And the show left me looking forward to the Rumble and even WrestleMania because of the hype for the Shawn Michaels and Undertaker match that I assume will happen, but I guess we'll be waiting to find out. I thought it was very smart. I didn't know how they were going to do it. I didn't think they could, with, you know, less than 2 weeks to go before the Rumble, announce the Taker and Shawn match officially for the pay-per-view for WrestleMania, because the last thing you want to do is put all your focus on WrestleMania and that match and make people think that they can skip the Rumble. So they did a nice job of tying the two things together. We'll talk about that as we get into this show, which opened up with the annual Dr. Martin Luther King tribute video, which was followed by the opening video with shitty Nickelback, and then we get the pyro going off on the stage and the screen noting that we're 2 weeks away from the Rumble, and Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler introducing the show. And by the way, if you want to follow along, I'm not going to read word for word, but you can follow along with my report at ProWrestling.net if you want to skim through and get an idea of what exactly happened on the show last night and what I'm following along with. But Justin Roberts introduced Vince McMahon as highlights played of the Bret Hart angle from the January 4th show. And he talked about, he was much better here. I was at the Target Center show the week before on January 11th, and Vince came out and cut a promo about Bret. It was the follow-up to the actual angle with Bret from the January 4th show. And it was greeted with a lot of boring chants. And I agreed with the people chanting it because Vince just really didn't say anything. It was just well, boring. And so I thought he did a much better job this week. I didn't really get me too pumped up to see Bret's next appearance or anything like that. I actually thought he was going to be on last night's show, but that didn't happen. So I'm not sure when Bret will be back, but, you know, obviously they're keeping the storyline going. Didn't get me super pumped up to see the next chapter. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to be something that's there's going to be any hook for the Royal Rumble with Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, so I don't mind them kind of taking their time with it. The key is just to not let people basically forget about it or think it's insignificant. So it was all right last night what they did with Vince. I just thought he had some better one-liners and was just he just seemed to be much more focused and into it this time around. Last week it was just like he was reading a statement and looked bored. One of his one-liners was that sometimes in business you have to make tough decisions, such as bringing Raw to this godforsaken community. Got a kick out of that. And he also said that he banned Bret for the fans. He said, you don't want to remember Bret for the way he is. He said, Bret's an apologetic, humble, broken-down warhorse who needs to be put down. And he likened it to chewing gum and having it lose its flavor. And he said, Bret lost his flavor, so he's been chewed up and spit out. Ouch. And then he was eventually interrupted by Undertaker's music, and Taker came out with his usual entrance, and Vince was a little cautious about this, and he stood there, and the Taker stood in the ring and didn't say anything, so Vince said he wasn't quite finished with his speech. I feel that this is my time and my show, and Taker interrupted and said, the way I see it, it's my time now. Taker said he came out to address Shawn Michaels, but he wanted to tell Vince something that his own ego wouldn't allow him to admit. Taker said that there aren't many left who were there 12 years ago in Montreal. He said he saw the whole thing. He said he saw the fear in Vince's eyes, and he sees the fear in his eyes now. The fans were popping for this, and he said, you screwed Bret Hart, not once but twice, and now you're terrified of the consequences, as you should be. What you did was the act of a coward. And Vince sheepishly said he disagrees with Taker's point of view. He said that it was Taker's time, and then he left the room. And then Taker tied it into Shawn Michaels by saying, stubbornness, anger, denial, those aren't just the attributes of Vince McMahon. They also lie within the soul of Shawn Michaels. And he added that Shawn is Mr. WrestleMania, but the streak is still intact. And HBK eventually came out. And Shawn came the closest of anyone to ending the streak, but he still failed. And he said a rematch would end in more bitter disappointment for Shawn. He said, Shawn, I have nothing to prove to you. My answer is no. Shawn got pissed. Taker cut him off and said, however, if you are truly convinced that you can beat me, I will give you that opportunity tonight. And the fans popped huge, and an HBK chant broke out. And then Shawn stared at Taker and said, no. The live crowd booed this. He says, I want nothing more than to beat you, Undertaker, but when I beat you, it's going to be on the grandest stage of them all. And he said he realizes what he has to do, which is enter the Royal Rumble. And he says, and when I win, and believe me, Undertaker, I will win, there won't be any mystery or wonder which champion I'm going to face. The champion I'm going to face is you. Taker said he will be the World Heavyweight Champion at WrestleMania. So winning the Royal Rumble, Shawn, is your only chance at salvation. And Shawn replied that he'd see Taker at Mania. He said, your streak, your title, your soul will be mine. It was Shawn saying that, and Taker's music played to end the segment as he and Shawn stared at one another. I thought this was great. One of the best segments we've seen on WWE in a long time. I like the way that they transitioned from Vince into Taker, and he had a little bit to say about the Bret situation, then into Shawn coming out and putting all the focus on their feud. The only concern I have is there too much foreshadowing going on for Shawn Michaels winning the Royal Rumble? Maybe he's not, you know, but if he does win it, it's going to feel a little uneventful for some people who now are convinced that Shawn wins. If he doesn't win it, obviously, then people just, hey, wow, good foreshadowing, I was surprised. Don't know that Shawn's going to win the Rumble. It certainly would, you know, it makes sense if he did. But I think they can still get to the match somehow, some way. You know, if Shawn, let's say Shawn's the last man eliminated, or he's just eliminated at some point in the match, there's nothing stopping him from making Taker's life a miserable hell and interfering in his matches and doing things like that. And then finally Taker decides that he wants to face Shawn as badly as Shawn wants to face him. So there are ways that they can get to that match. I still don't feel that the World Heavyweight Championship needs to be involved. I don't feel like Shawn Michaels and Undertaker need that. The WrestleMania streak of Taker's is more than enough. And so I don't think, I'll be surprised if Undertaker is still champion heading into the WrestleMania show. I've said before, and I'll say again, that I think that You know, it's CM Punk, for instance, is somebody who could use that strap, and it would make whatever he's doing that much more important, whoever his opponent is. Let's say it's Punk against Rey Mysterio. That's not a WrestleMania main event type match. It needs something extra. Now, there's a lot of talk out there that we might see Rey put his mask on the line against Punk's hair. Well, then that match really doesn't need the world title either. But it just, you know, goes to show that you need something extra for a match like that. Don't know what Batista's doing at WrestleMania. If it's John Cena, well, then maybe they don't need the title involved in that either. But I'm just saying, Taker doesn't need it. The belt would almost seem secondary at that point. And I think you can get better use out of the World Heavyweight Championship by putting on someone who really needs that extra boost to have a match at WrestleMania that seems important. But we'll see what they do there. But it's just overall really strong hype for both the Rumble and, you know, down the road at WrestleMania. We got highlights of Randy Orton winning last week's triple threat match to earn a shot at the WWE Championship, and then Sheamus beat Evan Bourne in a non-title match in 2 minutes. Really, Evan Bourne's the only guy that Sheamus can work with on Raw lately. I mean, it's not like there are too many, you know, undercard baby faces that matter. It's kind of one of the problems with Raw is when you're trying to build up someone like Sheamus, who do you have him beat? I mean, if you're not willing to commit to have him beat guys like Hunter and Shawn, and, you know, he has beaten Cena, but it was in the tables match. But if you're not willing to commit and have Sheamus beat top guys, who do you have him beat that really matters? There's MVP, Mark Henry, Evan Bourne, those types. And so there's really just not that many guys that matter on the undercard. And I'm not, you know, that it doesn't become a channel-changing moment. I know he's on the SmackDown brand, but let's say Jimmy Wang Yang was on Raw. Now that becomes, you know, it's like, okay, we know Jimmy Wang Yang's not going to beat Sheamus, so... but, you know what I'm saying. There's just not that many guys, in my opinion, that he can beat that matter if they're not going to put him over other main event guys. And I'm not saying they should either. I don't think on Raw you just give away Sheamus beating Hunter. If you're going to do that, you save it for pay-per-view and make it special, and you just don't want to give too much away. But hopefully they can find someone else for Sheamus to work with. Not that Evan Bourne does a bad job, because, in fact, he makes Sheamus look pretty damn good in their matches. But Orton came out as soon as the bell rang and was watching from ringside, and Sheamus was distracted by this, and Bourne got in some good offense. He hit that double knee press that I just love watching, and ultimately Sheamus came back and ended up hitting his crucifix slam that still doesn't have a name, and he got the 1-2-3, and then afterward Orton slowly entered the ring as an RKO chant started with some fans. It wasn't like, you know, the crowd isn't exactly turning Randy babyface right now. There are some fans who are cheering him, but it seems like the same people would be cheering him, maybe even fewer, if he were in there with John Cena. You know, it's not like there's this some new just movement for Randy Orton becoming a babyface. It hasn't really played out that way yet. Orton and Sheamus glared at one another while standing in the ring, and then Sheamus backed up and let the ring announcer hand him the WWE Championship. Sheamus held up the title and was booed. He left the ring while continuing to glare at Orton. And then backstage, Triple H was about to talk with Shawn Michaels when he noticed Don Johnson. And after exchanging pleasantries, Johnson said he was looking for John Heater. HBK said he didn't know who Heater was, but he'd let Johnson know if he saw him, and HBK wasn't in a good mood, and he walked away. And Hunter told Johnson that Heater didn't show up, and he praised Johnson for showing up on time and at least being professional. He says, who cares if he shows up? They actually alluded to something about some history between Heater and Hunter. I don't even remember. I have a horrible memory, but I don't recall there being anything between Hunter and Heater. Maybe I'm forgetting something. But that's where those video packages work well. If there is some legit storyline, I don't even remember Heater appearing on the show ever, so I don't know what the hell they were alluding to. But Hunter ended up leaving the scene, and that's when Don Johnson showed or spotted someone dressed up like Napoleon Dynamite. He assumed it was Heater. The man turned around, and Johnson noted that the person must have been a fan of Napoleon Dynamite. Never seen it, Carlito said, while dressed from head to toe looking like Napoleon Dynamite. Didn't understand this at all. If he's never seen the movie, why is he dressed like Napoleon Dynamite and even wearing the Vote for Pedro t-shirt? Okay. I mean, granted, I just moved on quickly, but kind of a stupid, strange segment. After a commercial, the announcers hyped the tag match that was coming up, and then we got Jack Swagger coming to the ring. And he was calling out Santino for revenge for the over-the-top Battle Royal Challenge that he lost last week, or just the over-the-top challenge, I guess it would be. Santino came out dressed in Sonny Crockett gear. For those of you who are too young to remember, Sonny Crockett was Don Johnson's character on Miami Vice way back in the day. Santino said he'd love to toss Swagger over the top rope, but he's the president of the Italian Don Johnson fan club. And Santino introduced a suitable substitution, which turned out to be Mark Henry, who beat Jack Swagger in an over-the-top challenge in 30 seconds. Yeah, this isn't going very well for Swagger. The draft can't come quickly enough, as far as I'm concerned, for Jack Swagger, because they just don't seem like they have anything planned for him. I'd love to think that this is somehow going to lead to Swagger having one of those Royal Rumble moments where, you know, they can really, even though he isn't going to win the thing, they make him look really strong by having him eliminate a bunch of people. But I just don't think they have anything planned for Swagger. I hope I'm wrong, but I just think he's a guy that, on a brand that's, you know, hurting for heels. Now, they've done a nice job lately with boosting up The Miz and obviously Sheamus, but it's not like there's just no room to push a guy like Swagger, and yet they don't. I don't get it. I think he'd be much better off on SmackDown. Hell, I think he'd be much better off being the big fish in a small pond on ECW at this point. I mean, that's really frustrating to me, too, because, you know, last year around this time, I don't remember exactly. Yeah, I think it was the draft is when Swagger was moved over to Raw. So if memory serves, you know, it was around this time that many of us thought that, you know, it was going to be a breakout year for Jack Swagger. And once he was moved to the Raw brand, it was like, wow, this is a guy they can really do something with, and nothing. They just haven't found anything for him. We did get John Heater arriving at the building with the celebrity whore Bella Twins. He was wearing shades and a Three Wolves t-shirt. And he said, "Go Nashville." And the Bellas quickly reminded him that he was in Knoxville. And I don't think the live crowd really picked up on this. When he said, "Go Nashville," there wasn't a whole lot of response. And then when he said, "Go Knoxville," the people cheered. I was like, I know he's supposed to be a heel, folks. But he was fun. Yeah, the celebrity whore Bella Twins were hanging all over him again, as usual. What a job. Wrestle every once in a while, and then I'm just falling over celebrities. That's the life of a Bella Twin. It's a good life. In a rare production slip, we did get a Did You Know graphic that was shown, and the Raw theme song didn't kick in right away. There was a couple of them last night. I can't remember the other one. I know at one point somebody pointed out that Jerry Lawler mistakenly referred to someone as Randy Savage. I somehow missed this while I was watching the show, but now heard it from a couple people, so oops. Don Johnson, John Heater, and the Bella Twins came to the ring as Cole was plugging away at their movie that I don't intend to see, unless I hear it's really good, and I don't expect to hear that either. Johnson sucked up to the crowd. Heater cut him off and said he knew the fans were thinking how awesome it was to have real-life movie stars there. Johnson looked a little flustered, but he turned his attention to the main event. Johnson said the main event would feature D-Generation X. Heater said it wasn't really working for him. Said it's not that DX isn't great. They're okay. I just need something new. And right there, my perspective on John Heater completely changed. I was like, I really love this man now. Unfortunately, DX was still in the main event. Heater said that he and Johnson are both from California. They snuck in a Lane Kiffin reference, which drew heat from the Tennessee crowd. He introduced The Miz, and Johnson wasn't pleased about this. And meanwhile, Heater was overly excited about Miz. He even got down on his knees and bowed to him. Miz said it was nice to have real celebrities hosting the show. He thanked Heater for adding him to the Royal Rumble match. Miz claimed he received a text from Triple H that said Johnson would host the show alone. Miz said that Heater's movies have drawn over $300 million. Heater said the actual number, and then Johnson kind of joked that I could do that in a week. Miz said he is what Johnson was, the hottest man on television. Miz said everyone wanted to be Sonny Crockett, but no one remembered the other guy. And then Johnson snuck in a plug for good old Tubbs, a.k.a. Philip Michael Thomas. And Miz said that MVP is the WWE version of Tubbs because he thinks he can compete on Miz's level. And Heater snuck in the line, "That's a Miz steak." MVP came out. He apologized to Johnson for putting up with Napoleon Dynamite and Pedro. I know it's what Heater's most famous for, but God, it just seems like it was ages ago that movie came out now. It was just got so much attention, and after a while, it's just like, oh, God, can we move on? Enough Napoleon Dynamite. MVP said he was added to the Royal Rumble a few minutes ago, but he didn't want to wait until then to get his hands on Miz. MVP headed to the ring to square off with Miz, who met him at ringside. However, Big Show's entrance music stopped him. Show walked to ringside. MVP took a couple shots at Miz, but ended up taking a knockout punch from Big Show, and then Miz and Show entered the ring. Heater said he and Show have the same agent, so he brought him out to be an insurance policy. And this ended up, they ended up booking DX against Big Show and The Miz, saying that The Miz and Show were a new tag team. We did get a shot with Michael Cole encouraging viewers to contribute to a Haiti relief effort. Not sure. I don't think, I think the incident in Florida had already happened at that point with Awesome Kong beating the shit out of Bubba the Love Sponge. And I just got to say, I'll sneak this in. I was kind of annoyed reading Bubba's Twitter stuff yesterday about how he's, you know, a real man apologizes, a real man. I think he used real man at least twice, maybe three times. And I thought that's really odd, but okay, at least the guy apologized. Then it turns out that he's using real man because I think he was embarrassed that this real man, Bubba the Love Sponge, just got his ass kicked by a woman. Anyhow, John Cena and Kofi Kingston beat Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase in 11:40. I was getting worried because Kofi was doing all the selling. I'm like, oh no, it's, you know, this match should be about Cena giving Kofi some rub. And instead, it's, you know, Kofi's going to get beat up and then Cena's going to get the glory. But Cena did get some glory, but then he tagged in Kofi, who ended up getting the pin for his team. And then Cody was pissed afterward, and Ted looked a little surprised. There's a little tension between those two. Good TV match. Nothing spectacular, nothing you're going to remember a week from now, but decent TV match that gave Kofi a little rub. Then we got Heater speaking with Miz and Big Show. Hornswoggle showed up and grunted. And Hunter entered the picture and said Hornswoggle was saying he didn't like Heater like the rest of the world. And then Horny grunted again, and Hunter told him to wash his mouth because it's a PG show. Don't remind us. Hunter said Hornswoggle challenged Heater to a match. Triple H proposed turning the main event into a six-man with DX and Hornswoggle versus Show, Miz, and Heater. The heels accepted, even though John Heater wasn't very pleased about this. At least he didn't. At first he wasn't. After commercial, we got Gail Kim and Eve beating Maryse and Alicia Fox. Real sloppy match. They just, they throw these women out there. They get the obligatory horny male, you know, hoots and hollers as they come to the ring, and then the match starts, and there's just crickets. No one cares. This one, there was a cool move. Alicia or Eve applied an armbar on Alicia while sitting on the top rope, and then flipped around on the mat and got the win by submission. So Eve was improving a little bit. I like the move. But it's to me, I know there's a lot of sloppy work that goes on in the Divas division, but for me, it's all about presentation. And WWE doesn't make it seem like these women matter. They don't showcase the better workers necessarily. And, you know, there's just no reason to care about the Divas. And that's a shame because, you know, TNA's had a lot of success with the knockouts, and it usually is their highest rated segment when they appear on the show. And, you know, you go back to even the you know, the WWE Attitude Era, and think about the numbers that Sable was popping at that time. So, for whatever reason, WWE just doesn't seem to care about the women. Cole introduced footage of Steve Austin's appearance on Chuck, which will air next week at 7 o'clock, right before 7 Central, right before Raw. So you can watch Stone Cold on the NBC show and still watch Raw. You might have to miss Ring of Honor, but I have a feeling most of you do anyway. After a commercial break, we got Don Johnson flirting with Kelly Kelly until Heater entered the room. Miz and Show presented Heater with his own Ric Flair-like robe that read "The Flame" on the back, and Heater got all pumped up as they sold him on the catchphrase that "No one can extinguish the flame." Don Johnson walked away and was pretty disgusted by all this. And then backstage, Vince was bitching to Hunter about the Brett situation. Hunter said that if Vince doesn't call out Brett, the world will know he's a coward. Vince walked away, and Sean showed up to pick up their conversation from earlier. Unfortunately, Hornswoggle showed up and made those dumbass grunting noises. And Hunter said he was serious, and they would talk whatever he had to talk about was serious, and they would talk later. And then they comedically bickered about who would carry Hornswoggle to the ring, and Hunter ended up being the guy who had to carry Hornswoggle on his back. Yuck. You know, attending the live Raw last week, I mean, it's there. You can't deny that Hornswoggle is over. There's a lot of families there, and the kids go absolutely nuts for him. And then when, you know, if you're an adult and you kind of groan over it, they'll look at you like you're absolutely insane and you don't understand the appeal of Hornswoggle. I just think, you know, small doses, please. No pun intended. Just, I don't need this guy in every DX segment now. I think he's, I get the appeal, even though it doesn't appeal to me, but less is more with Hornswoggle as far as this viewer is concerned. We got a shot of Randy Orton. We got a Did You Know graphic touting that the Hall of Fame sold out in 35 minutes. And we got Orton beating Chris Masters in 2:45. Good match for Masters, even though he lost. You know, it was he got Orton in the well. I should point out that Sheamus came out to ringside right after the bell rang, just as Orton did during his match. And Masters ended up locking Orton in the Master Lock. Orton eventually kind of fell onto the ropes to break the hold, and then stood up and out of nowhere hit the RKO on Masters, which was a little awkward because like he just got beaten. You know, he was just in the finishing hold. And yet, you know, seconds later, he was able to hit his finisher. So that seemed a little strange. But I just, you know, they gave Masters at least some hope. It looked like he had a shot at beating Randy Orton, so that's got to be good for him. Problem is, I don't think they have any idea what to do with Masters beyond having him shake his tits. You know, where do you go from there? I just don't think they have big plans for Masters. Could be wrong. After the match, Sheamus entered the ring and nailed Orton with a big boot to the face. Sheamus stood over Orton and raised his hands as the fans booed, and then Sheamus left the ring while Orton was left lying on the mat. So at this point, you know, it was different because it was like they're almost encouraging people to cheer for Orton in this match rather than Sheamus, but at the same time, they just got done giving people hope that Orton was going to lose to Masters. So, yeah, a little odd. I still wonder if they're going to add somebody to that match. You know, it's heel versus heel, it's the right show to do that on because it is the Royal Rumble, and I've always said you don't need to give away blockbuster, you know, world title matches on that show just because the Rumble match is what sells that pay-per-view. You know, some of the other matches can enhance it, but I think it's the one show where you can count on people ordering for the Rumble, and then you can give some different matchups away, like they're doing with Taker versus Rey, and in this case, a heel versus heel match, but I still kind of wonder, will Vince actually go through with it? Because you know, we don't see very many heel versus heel matches. But if they do, it's going to be fun to see how the crowd reacts to the heel versus heel dynamic. I think that could be fun. Michael Cole hyped that Psych stars James Rodet and is it Dule Hill will be the guest host of next week's Raw. Boy, I can't wait. I've seen Psych, I think, once or twice, maybe. I just don't care. Didn't look like a horrible show or anything, but it wasn't for me. But it's a USA Network show. They're doing this to please the network, obviously, and they've got John Cena is going to be appearing on their show. I think it's next a week from Wednesday, so it's you know, a little cross promotion. And here's the only problem I have with it: if you want to have those guys as guest hosts, so be it. Hype something else for the show. I keep complaining about that when they have bad guest hosts. It's like they think that's enough. And give us a match, you know. Sell what's on the show. Don't just go, yeah, here's these bad guest hosts, and expect everybody to tune in. We got a ring introduction for the main event. Don Johnson ended up coming out with DX. Heater was very entertaining here. He came out. His robe had the feathers on it. Like I said, it was a Ric Flair robe. And so he had like a handful of feathers, and he blew those into the camera. That was kind of cute. And when he took off the robe, it was tremendous because here he was with his Napoleon Dynamite physique, and he's wearing nothing but boots and trunks. So I laughed. I don't know how many other people did, but I laughed. DX and Hornswoggle with Don Johnson in their corner beat John Heater, The Miz, and Big Show. Heater, you know, he did what you would expect. I mean, there wasn't much to it. The real joke was seeing him in the boots and trunks, and Hornswoggle biting him on the ass, tagging Hunter in, Heater running to ringside. Don Johnson wouldn't let Heater leave, though. He slid him back inside the ring, and then Hunter got his hands on him. But Big Show entered the ring and punched Hunter. Sean came in and super kicked Show, then fell on top of Heater. And HBK super kicked Miz off the ring apron. And then Hornswoggle headed up top and hit the tadpole splash onto Big Show and Heater. And that's how the DX team won. And then I'm like, wow, Heater did a nice job here. You know, it was cute comedy and not gonna be everyone's cup of tea, but for what it was fine. And then he slides right out of the ring, goes right over to Don Johnson. I'm like, okay, it's a little odd that he's getting up after taking, you know, Big Show falling on top of him. Maybe they're gonna do something with him shoving Don Johnson. No, you know, because Don Johnson did just prevent him from leaving. No, they put their arms around one another and walk out, and Heater's like waving to the fans. Like, wow, great selling. Apparently no one told him, you know, you might want to sell this for a little bit and act like you've been beat up instead of just, you know, same facial expression as always and not looking any worse for the wear and just, you know, waving to the crowd. But, it was awkward, but I don't think anyone's not going to watch Raw next week because John Heater doesn't sell well. I was worried they were going to go off the air here, but we got good quality Rumble hype instead. After the match, Hunter told Sean that he's been trying to talk to him all night. Hunter said that Sean would need to find another way to get to Taker because it wouldn't work with him going for the championship. John Cena interrupted them and said that he had a major announcement he wanted to make before tempers got out of control. He announced that he would be competing in the Royal Rumble. And he said the last time he was in the Rumble, he won the match, and he said he's going to do it again this year. Well, thank you for that major announcement, John Cena. Big Show recovered enough to get in the ring. He was still a little groggy. He was selling much more than John Heater was. And he said that the match is designed for giants like him. He knocked down both DX members, but Cena got the better of Show and cleared him from the ring. DX recovered, and they both tossed. They teamed up on Cena to toss him over the top rope. And then Hunter tossed Sean over the top rope, and he had the mic, and he said, here's the thing I've been trying to tell you, Sean. It's not going to work. None of you are going to win the Royal Rumble because I am. And then Hunter's music played as Sean kind of glared at him from the floor at ringside. So, good hype. You know, you got some star power in there to hype the Royal Rumble match. It didn't have anything to do with Hornswoggle. I wish they just announced right now that, no, we're not going to put Hornswoggle in that match. There were like 14 WWE Raw stars that were announced for the Rumble match. There have been some, you know, mentions of the SmackDown guys. I know Cole was talking about some of them last night. Somebody sent me a list of like 28 guys who are have basically been confirmed for the match on, you know, various TVs in some capacity. So I don't think we're going to get a ton of surprises at the Rumble. A lot of talk that Edge could be back for this. Wouldn't be, you know, it fits with the timeline. It definitely does. And I know Jim Ross has been saying in his blog that he doesn't know if Edge will make it back in time for Mania. And I've always been a little skeptical of that because I think that's probably JR playing the company man. I think WWE, my guess is that they have a pretty good idea of where Edge is at. And after hearing, you know, people who have seen him at like Florida Championship Wrestling when he made an appearance down there and when he's done some stuff overseas for publicity, he's walking around pretty good. Now, there's a big difference between, you know, wrestling a match and walking around, but it's not like he's walking with a noticeable limp. And so some of the things we've heard about Edge, I think, has been trying to swerve people into thinking that, no, he might not be back after all. So Edge could be one of the surprises. Don't know about the other one. Don't even know that entire list was completely accurate, but 14 Raw guys so far, and I'm sure we'll get more ECW and SmackDown wrestlers announced this week. You know, overall, I thought this was a quality effort. I enjoyed the show. Again, good hype for the Royal Rumble, and that was paramount this week just because they hadn't really, even though they had 6 weeks to do it, they really didn't kick in the strong hype for the Rumble show until tonight. One thing I was disappointed by, there wasn't a real serious follow-up to that great promo we saw from Miz and MVP last week, their verbal exchange. And I thought it was Miz's best moment on the mic. He was phenomenal there. MVP did a nice job as well, and it was kind of forgotten this week. I don't know if they were thinking about putting him in a United States title match at the Royal Rumble and then decided just to throw him into the actual match. If maybe that's what happened, but it just, you go from that, you know, what I thought was like the highlight of last week's show, being there in person. I really enjoyed that segment, and we got the best mic work we've ever gotten from Miz, and it was just money, and zero follow-up this week. But they did really do a nice job of setting us up with good Rumble hype, and especially the stuff with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, and then you get to, it wasn't shocking to me that, you know, what Hunter's announcement was at the end, but you made it clear that you're going to have some, you know, big names in the Rumble match. You're going to have Hunter, you're going to have Shawn, you're going to have John Cena and Big Show, and so good, strong hype for the actual Rumble match and the Rumble pay-per-view. Still not, I can't say I'm really, you know, feeling this whole Taker versus Mysterio match and not ultra excited about Orton versus Sheamus if that's the match they stick with. But, you know, I, as I said earlier, this is the show where you can do things like that because it's not, your title matches aren't selling this show as much as the Rumble match is. So I think it's going to be a fun Royal Rumble. Just got to get through couple of really big football games, including one with my favorite team coming up on Sunday. And then the following weekend will be all about the Royal Rumble. So it's right there with WrestleMania for me as far as being my favorite annual pay-per-view event of the year. I just love the Rumble match when it's done correctly, and so I always look forward to that. And So it's going to be a lot of fun to cover that show. We got plenty coming up here on the .NET members site. As I mentioned earlier, there's a three-hour interview with former WWE creative team member Court Bauer that you can listen to. And we talked about the Monday night head-to-head battle and also the Brett, what was going on in 2006 when Vince McMahon was talking about bringing in Bret Hart at that time when Court was part of the creative team, and he was talking about what was the plans were and what was on and off limits. And there's just a lot of really good stuff. I've received nothing but positive feedback about Court's appearance on the show, the Court interview, I should say. So I hope you'll check it out. Again, just $5 for the month, and all three parts are already available, not stretching that out or anything like that. So great time to sign up for .NET membership, and all you have to do, again, if you're on iTunes, hop on over to ProWrestling.net, look for that sign-up page, and for $5 a month, you're going to get all those audio perks, access to the members site, and access to the ad-free version of the website. The .NET members forum is what I meant to say you'll have access to, and the ad-free version of the website. So lots of stuff for just $5 a month, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. That's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I will talk to you soon. Take care.